Welcome to the Her Sweet Spot Experience, dishing out tips and tricks on mindset, money, marketing, and media for your life and business, and where we talk to women about how they found their sweet spot.
Hello, hello. Hey, sweet maids. It's me, Marsha Guerriere, founder of Her Sweet Spot. Welcome back to the Her Sweet Spot podcast, your dose of inspiration, where we celebrate and amplify the voices of inspiring women entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Marsha Guerriere, and today we have a special episode featuring a recipient of the Her Rise Micro Grant. These women have not only started incredible businesses, but have also harnessed the power of grant funding to make a real impact in their business. On today, we're going to speak with Cheryl Stevenson, visionary behind Afro People, a unique clothing line celebrating natural Afro hair. Her mission is to foster self-acceptance and empowerment in the Black community, where individuals often face undue criticism for their natural hair. Mm-hmm. Afro People not only embraces this beauty, but also features 10 distinct Afro characters, each symbolizing a different aspect of life and culture, including music Afro, high Afro, money Afro, Black Power Afro, and more. I want to welcome you to the virtual stage. Hello.
Hey. Thank you. I appreciate you for having me and for awarding me the micro grant.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I'm often moved by the people that we select for these grants, whether it is the larger grant or a second chance grant. You are happen to be a second chance grant recipient, and it's a real pleasure to support you. Now, I know it's not till after I said, I'm gonna mess up her name. Let's circle back so I can say it right. Educate me.
Cheryl.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl, yes. Share with our listeners and share with me a little bit about your journey, how you got started with this business, how this artistic cultural. You're listening. Head over to YouTube and find this broadcast, so you will see Cheryl in her Afro, rocking her Afro. So tell us how you got started with this business.
Okay, so I make music. I'm a hip hop artist, and I go by She Real. So if you look at the music fro within the crown of the music fro character, it says She Real, because initially I was trying to find somebody who could assist me with formulating my logo. And I had a mock and everything. And we were creating a font, but a font that was an original font that I've never, maybe I shouldn't be saying this because we haven't officially released it, but it was a font.
Oh, well, give them something to look forward to, girl.
Okay, right. So I can timestamp this right now. Yeah, this is an exclusive timestamp. So we were creating a font that consisted of Afro hair, because I do graphics as well. As an entrepreneur, you tend to wear many hats when you either can't afford things or you get notes. Right. And then you just have to figure it out. So graphics is something I got into. And I couldn't find a font with Afro hair anywhere. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to make one. And I was struggling. So I found another graphic artist that we could go back and forth and do things together. And her name is Vivian. She's from Florida. And she was really
Shout out to Vivian from Florida.
Yeah, facts. This was during the pandemic. So it was early 2021, And for like 2 months straight, because she said I was extremely relentless. For 2 months straight, I hit her up every day. Every day, religiously. Like, I had a problem. I was determined to get this done by a particular date because I wanted to have a soft launch that I was going to release with a music video that I was doing called Beautiful Day, that is about loving Black people, empowering Black people, right? Celebrating us. And so we went from creating a logo to when I saw the logo, I was like, oh, nah, we need a bunch of these
with all
different characters. And I was like, I could turn this shit into a clothing line. And like, it went from one. So I just started sending her all these mocks, and then she would send me a sketch, and then I would mess with the sketch in Photoshop and rearrange it to how I thought it should be, or send her images and mocks of what I wanted and then send it back to her. So we were either sending videos back and forth, or Photoshop images, or she was more on Illustrator, or things from our phone, but we were just back and forth. And then when we would finalize the outline, then I would fill in all the colors on Photoshop. And we would just go back and forth with every aspect of the process until the design was complete. And then each character not only every character also came with different pieces that symbolize or were a representation of that character, kind of like how Money Fro has its own money.
Let's talk more about these characters. Okay. You know, when you told me, when originally, you know, obviously you and I have spoken before,
right,
for you guys listening, and you told me about the concept, and I just got super excited, and you dropped some future. We're gonna ask you that later, what's coming, right? Mm-hmm. And the ideas around all of these characters that is part of the clothing line and where that could go. Tell me how you came up with the idea. Music Fro, High Fro, Money Fro, Black Power Fro, and what else? Tell us about the characters.
There's a Inner Peace Fro, a Gamer Fro, Kung Fu Fro, Sports Fro, Black Family, and then there's a Foodie Fro. So
let me ask you a question, because right off the top of my head, what comes to mind is, you know, I have a son, Joshua. He's 9 years old now. Right. Anytime I get any branded gear that's Her Sweet Spot, he's like, where's mine?
Right.
I'm like, they didn't make it for your size. I'm sorry. You know, we do have a cousin. I have my godson just launched a clothing line as well, and we all bought it. So we all wearing the line, and he's like, where's mine? So do you have children's?
Yes, I do.
There you go. Sign me up.
She said, sign me up. So what has been most interesting since my release is how mothers, Black mothers come to me, Black and Hispanic mothers, Afro-Latinas come to me because they're looking for something to empower their children. And so there have been days that I have to go meet a mother and her children at a school or in a public location because they want me to actually give it to them and see their child's response, or they'll send me pictures and things of that nature. Or there's some women that have asked me for infant clothing because they said this is something they would like to have on their babies.
Yeah.
And that was all unexpected. I didn't know that I was going to receive that type of response from Black women, Black mothers.
Yeah.
And I was grateful for it because it expanded my outlook on what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But the characters were a derivative of a conversation with the graphic artist. Everybody that I tend to associate with is very big on intent. So even when I make music and people are speaking with me, they want to know what I want specifically. There's no, let's throw a general idea out here and see what sticks,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, no spaghetti to the wall.
Yeah. So I had to sit and think about my people and what I wanted to focus on that I felt was a great representation of all of us, where regardless of what your interest was, you had something that you could kind of gravitate towards. And then also everything to some degree was an extension of myself. But it was a way for me to also have concepts that I could use to teach. because teaching is a love language for me. So through music, or high fro is more so about natural, because it's not like we're promoting any sort of hardcore drugs or anything like that. But from, there's a lot of people that use cannabis for PTSD or medical reasons. Right. And the same with shrooms, because the high fro was laying across a bed of shrooms. There are people that use it for depression and things of that nature. Everything had a purpose. Money fro was supposed to help assist with teaching financial literacy. Black power fro was about learning about self, your people, especially now in today's times where they're trying to remove history from the classroom. But that's another story. Inner peace is about mental health. Gamer fro, you know, I grew up playing video games. I know a lot of people that play video games.
That's where Josh is now in his life. He's at the stage where, oh my God, help me.
Save me, child, from this
little boy all day, all night. And he's generally an active kid. Mm-hmm. And now he has fallen into the web of PS5. Oh my God.
It's okay, because it for me, what's different about video games for their generation versus ours and the ones that are older is they can make a lot of money playing video games. So I don't shut down anybody's passion or what brings them joy. And then I would rather a child utilize a video game as an outlet versus doing any number of things that they could potentially be doing outside of that. That's not positive.
You know, as Mama Bear and as the coach that I am, and you know, Joshua and I co-authored a children's book together, Just As I Am Kindness. And so everything I try to instill in him often leans back some way towards entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. So when I saw he had this passion, I was like, okay, so what we gonna do is, and he has an insane obsession and passion for soccer. So I said, we're going to build a soccer app, a soccer math app, because Mama wants the school part, right? Mm-hmm. The education piece. So I said, I think we should build a soccer app. And every time somebody get it right, they could try to kick a goal. Mm-hmm. He's like, Mom, that's not going to work. And I do have someone who could help him build the app, but he was not interested. I'm gonna get back. I'm gonna break them down.
Give
them
some
time. But I love that you took starting from a simple logo design trying to get yourself to create a font, and now it exploded into this massive brand, Afro people, that really, really is impactful.
Yeah.
Right. I love that.
Thank you. Because I wanted something that would outlive me, that had nothing to do with me, but everything to do with us, you know, because as a hip hop artist, I know how a lot of us can be me focused in different moments. And in hip hop, to some degree, it comes with a lot of bravado and ego. That's a part of this style, you know, of the culture to some degree. But when I started creating the logo, I just felt like it could be so much bigger than me. And I wanted something that celebrated us, because this also was an extension of my natural hair journey. Yeah. And I had expressed to you in another session that I had joined that you have on Fridays, where you give out different information about for entrepreneurship to fellow entrepreneurs. Yeah. I really caught a lot of hell when I started wearing my natural hair, which it was crazy to me, because I think as a kid I saw it, but I didn't internalize it the same way. Mm-hmm. When I became an adult and I'm talking to other adults, it's like, you're still like this? Like, what what is the problem? Where is the disconnect? Yeah. But
it's who you are, though. It's part of it is the fabric of your identity. And so why would anyone want to take that away from you?
Because everybody's concept of how they identify is all seen through their own lens, mm-hmm. and that is influenced by a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Programming plays a part in that. Their own experiences, complexities, insecurities, trauma plays a part in that. Apart from,
we could be here for a whole talking about
all
the intersections of how we have been programmed, conditioned, and you know, systematically been told how our hair should look. But I want to get back to the business and
looking
looking back to the grant and talking about what is your grant and your funding journey been like? Is this your first grant? How did you use your grant? What is some advice you could share with other people about grant funding and applying to grants?
Okay, I don't have any advice for grant funding or applying to grants because I'm in the very early stages of this process. It's not even something I considered or was aware of to some degree early on when I started in 2021, the summer of 2021. Mm-hmm. My funding initially came from tax returns.
There you go. Not the Chanel bag.
Right.
Not the fancy clothes and shoes.
Right.
Invest in your future.
Right.
I love it.
So me already having an LLC with my music business, a lot of the money I got back that summer, because travel had been limited and restricted due to the pandemic, I was already looking for other ways to express myself. I was very depressed during that time. And so I wasn't really music focused as much. And the clothing gave me a way to continue to be creative and express a side of myself that I kind of only did with the children I worked with when it came to art and graphics and stuff like that. Yeah. So the tax return money, that's really the first thing I did was found a graphic artist that could assist me. And the first thing I invested in was just perfecting the graphics because I wanted to make sure that we had all of those done and I could get those copywritten and then I could get my trademarks done and then I could have my LLC and get my EIN and all of that stuff together before I even tried to have my initial launch. And with the
you just gave all the advice, okay? You don't have any advice. That was all the crumbs. You dropped all the gems. Get it together. Make sure your brand is in place.
Right.
There are grants that are for startups with just ideas that don't have it fully baked and thought out like you did. But really working on that, you know, what they call minimal viable product, the launch is key to success.
No, absolutely.
You mentioned the mindset that you had to put yourself in, and you know, part of Her Sweet Spot, we have our four pillars of success framework that we use. It begins with mindset. Mm-hmm. It's mindset, money, marketing, and media. Mm-hmm. And so what are some mindset shifts? Talk a little bit more about the mindset you had to kind of lean into as you found your sweet spot and rose to the C-suite, moving from all the areas that you've been doing. I mean, you've been really an entrepreneur forever, but do you think that when you got to the t-shirt line, did you feel that more sense of C-suite power in you?
How do I say this? So I've released merchandise previously with my music. And usually when I perform, if I take it to a festival like a South by Southwest or A3C, I'll sell out at the show if people get to see me perform and then I step off stage, depending on the message behind the image or what the t-shirt might say. Yeah. But so it allowed me to know what quality I wanted to offer and where to get that from doing all my previous experiences. But I also spent time because there are other, when you in hip hop, you meet all types of entrepreneurs. Well, excuse me, when you're a hustler, you meet all types of entrepreneurs. That has nothing to do with hip hop. But there are other independent fashion designers that I know that, because I'm from Harlem, that are from Brooklyn, that are from New York, that in the past had come to me and been like, yo, wear this. I know you always on the move, da 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 da. So one of the particular individual has a clothing line, Francie Face. And he had been, as long as I've been hustling with music, Francie Face had his clothing line. And when I told him this is something I was doing and he got to see it, he was like, man, there's so many people that just want to throw anything on a shirt, but this actually has a message. So he let me shadow him at his store for about a month and go through the process of pressing things, having graphics done and showing me, like, he really took me under his wing. And I was so grateful because I can talk about my mindset, but it stems from what has been poured into me from the community that I choose to lean on in different moments. It's not just about me. I couldn't have done this without the graphic artist. I couldn't have done this without the mentor that I had that gave me a foundation and a direction to look to. I couldn't have done this without my partner, Charlie Dirty, that was one of the people that, because in New York, fashion is a love language. There's certain t-shirts I found. I'm not going to say the brand name because I don't want to shade anybody. Where she's like, we're not wearing that shit. That's, you know, that quality. They're going to remember how the t-shirt feels on their skin. Yeah. They're going to remember what happens when you wash it, things of that nature. So I think as an artist, I already in New York, you deal with a lot of pushback in different areas. And you kind of have to learn how to stand on just yourself and so many different ways and aspects of just existing in New York. So I think from that to hip hop in my community, it just was a lot about consistency for me, about discipline for me, about remembering my why.
Yeah.
My why is always the most important thing. And if I can hold on to that in on my low vibrational days, I know that it's bigger than me because of what it does for other people. When, especially when I share the idea, the way certain people's faces light up, they're like, I'm a genius for even considering something like this. And I'm like, I feel like some people don't even know the half of it in regards to where I'm looking to take it.
So that's going to lead me right into our final question before we have to kind of wrap things up though. What does the future look like for you? What's that big vision that you could see this business going to and where your journey will lead?
Okay. So it wasn't until recently that I even found that there was one other black woman, by the way, that has an iconic symbol that represents her brand on a national scale. Mm-hmm. Because prior to maybe about 2-3 weeks ago, I couldn't find anybody. Mm-hmm. And so because kind of like how Walt Disney has Mickey Mouse, there's no black owned or ethnicity based brand that has something like that. Mm-hmm. I was looking to be the first. So now I'm looking to just, I guess, be the second, but I'm still offering something that doesn't exist anywhere because the other person that has it doesn't have what I have. And they're more so catered to women and children. Mine is a broader scale. They have a national brand. I want to have more of a urban brand that is a privately owned, kind of like a Supreme, where we have capsules and it's exclusive lines. That way it won't, because I've noticed when I was doing research on certain black owned brands that die out over time, they don't change and shift with the time. I was reading about Carl Kanai and different things that he had went through and how you have to protect yourself from theft because people will recreate your ideas and sell bootleg versions and all these other things. But he was showing how certain brands get locked in errors, you know? And so I felt like if I could find a way to have capsules that cater to a trend, but also very much so stay true to my core fan base, I win. And I'm going to have toys, comic books, cartoons, and then different programs I want to connect with. I want to find financial literacy programs that I can sponsor and connect my brand to, sports programs for our people that I can find and connect my brand to. And the same goes for black owned, because it's very hard, I've learned, for black people to receive funding in the cannabis industry. They are very much so fighting. As much as our people have been incarcerated for it, on the flip side of the business, they really aren't trying to give us money for it. So if I could find a black owned business that would be willing to partner or we could find a way to promote one another, because I'm cool with that as well. That's really what I'm looking to do with each entity of my brand. Find ways to bring us together.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I know I see so much more for the characters. And we spoke about that. I'm not going to mention it here just in case we don't want to share all the information. But I'm going to remind you, and I think you might remember. But we'll talk about it offline.
Okay.
So I'll bring you back when we're ready to talk about that and launch that part of your business and that entity into the mix, right?
Oh, wait. I'll tell you what I spent the grant on, though.
Yes.
Okay, so recently, because the package is on its way, but I have invested in chenille patches. I felt like it would be fire if you could feel the fro.
Mm-hmm.
So for the sweatsuits and jackets and some of the other items that I'm looking to create, you'll the quality, everything for me is about quality first. Because when you can perfect your product, it'll sell itself, you know?
Yeah. I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait. I will be ordering something for Josh because he's going to love it. He's going to absolutely love it. Listen, I have one or two more questions for you before I let you go. I know we're at time, but as an entrepreneur, you know, like you said, we're the hustlers of all hustlers, right? We do it all. What is one book you think all entrepreneurs should read that'll help them?
Oh, for entrepreneurs. I thought you just wanted me to pick a book.
Oh, yeah. Just any book you're reading that you think
all right. You should read. I was like, the book that I was, thank God that didn't fall on my foot. The book that I was currently reading is called Medical Apartheid. And so it's by Harriet A. Washington, and it talks about, because on the cover it says the dark history of medical experimentation. But in the medical field, there have been a lot of different things that had happened throughout history to our people that have seemingly appeared to be isolated incidents. But she was showing the connection between the experimentation that has taken that exists with our people throughout mm-hmm. medical history. I don't know. I shouldn't say I don't know. And over the past few years, I've been really into us. So I think Afro People is very much a reflection of that. Yeah. You know, even a documentary I was watching recently where it's called Stamp from the Beginning. And they were discussing Harriet Jacobs, who I wasn't aware of Harriet Jacobs. Who has a very similar story, but not to take away from, let me not even go there. Harriet Jacobs, right, because, ooh, intense. Harriet Jacobs was a story of a woman who was a slave who was being assaulted by her owner, and she lived in a small, confined space in her grandmother's house for 7 years. And was able to look through a hole and watch her four children, but not really be able to be around them until she was able to escape to the north. But it made me feel crazy that I hadn't been told this story when I was younger. And so I feel like there's so much I don't know about us that needs to be told, things about us that need to be celebrated.
Yeah. I've been finding myself in going down a lot of rabbit holes of documentaries, mm-hmm. reading, and as I'm watching the documentary, I'm searching things up and like, mm-hmm. pause, mm-hmm. let me read about this. And I'm teaching Joshua what I know, you know, what I'm learning, and he's becoming an aware and conscious child, which I love. But listen, we could talk forever and ever and ever. I do want to bring you back. We want to talk about all these things and tell the people how we can connect with you and your website, how we can buy your products and learn more about the Afro People.
No, I appreciate you. So afropeopleclothing.com. It's one word spelled exactly how it sounds, afropeopleclothing.com. Through that website, you'll be able to find all the social media links and the links or the shopping page and everything else. I don't want to give you a bunch of different things. Just go to the website, please.
Afro People
Clothing.
Clothing. Afro People Clothing. We'll add it on the links. We'll add it in the descriptions. You guys should be able to click somewhere and find it in two shakes and a lamb. Thank you so much for being my guest today. I really appreciate you. I'm proud of what you're doing. It's important what you're doing. There's a bigger message behind your clothing brand that I think the world should know about. And I really, really...
Okay, wait. Hold on. Wait, I lied.
What you got?
The book.
Yes.
There's two. 22 Immutable Laws of Branding and 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing.
Ooh. You'll send that to me so I can put it in the chat. It sounds like something we need to know.
These are two books that I got... secondhand from, okay, so I went to a school called the 1500 Sound Academy, and it's band producers, musicians, songwriters, producers. They work with top Beyonce, Jay-Z, Bruno Mars, Adele, you name it. But they did Nipsey Hussle's entire last album. Nipsey Hussle was an avid reader. And those were books that Nipsey Hussle gave to them. And so when we got there, they told us to read them. So the 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing is one. The 22 Immutable Laws of Branding is another. And those are books that I have been using to assist me. So the same way I found that there's another person that is in my category, one of the law of opposite is something I have been utilizing, because the law of opposite teaches you how to have the leader of the in your category use their strengths as weaknesses. So everything she is, I'm not, and I'm going to capitalize off of it. And it breaks down all these different things that different big well-known companies do in order to make themselves leaders.
Well, we're gonna find this book and we'll come back. We'll talk about the book. We might start a book club inside the Sweet Spot and a Sweet Spot Academy. And you never know. We will have you back. You're an amazing guest. I appreciate you for being here. And, you know, people, go get your Afro People gear, clothing. All right. And I end each program by saying, when we empower each other, we all rise. Right. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Her Sweet Spot Experience. Make sure to visit our website, www.hersweetspot.com. That's her, SUITE.